Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, Composed with Love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole.
Hello,
how are you
Cindy.
This week?
How are you?
Well, besides the fact that I had a massive virus in my email, which sent out, you know, don't
yeah,
let
I got
that lose weight crap, and my clients who trust me say, oh, if this works, I'm buying it. I'm just getting my credit card ready. So
oh,
I spent yesterday. Now I
particularly
now I have a thousand...
enjoyed the Viagra one that you sent me.
Oh, that was that one too, huh? I didn't know about that one.
I don't know, you sent me weight loss and Viagra.
Oh, well, that must have been fun. No wonder what my men clients were asking me, really? Okay, so, really? Did you send this to me?
Exactly.
And I didn't know what that, I didn't even hear about that one. So I had to, like, frantically answer, like, 80 people yesterday, no, don't buy it, don't click it. And then because it's a major glitch in Verizon Yahoo. Now, Verizon has not just Verizon, they have Verizon Yahoo. And
yeah.
You can't change your password. So this is an inside job. So I had to call up Verizon, who I no longer have them as a service, but I still have Verizon Yahoo as one of my emails, which I'm trying to wean off of.
Yeah.
And freaked out, screamed, and said, you know, there's no way for me to change a password. How am I going to do this? And they sort of weren't going to be too helpful until I said, this is a major glitch in security, so I'll either go public with it like I'm doing now, or you'll get it out of there somehow. So it's gone, I'm hoping. So
thank
I don't
God.
Know what they did, but I really was like, you can't keep doing it. I can't really. This is terrible.
Well, if I get anything from you and you're telling me that my penis needs enhancing, I will be sure to let you know.
But I couldn't figure out why the men were saying, Cindy, did you send this to me? And I was like,
yeah.
I didn't. Okay, now I get it. Now, Nicole, I had this little sort of feeling that because you've been doing this radio show for a while that, you know, you might be having some psychic dreams and psychic stuff happening. So, can you share anything that might be happening lately with you?
Yeah, actually, something happened first of all, it's been happening because, like I told you a couple weeks ago, you know, I'm transitioning again as far as, like, my job and this and that and everything else. So, like, you know, I'm getting, like, into that, like, okay, fine, I got to go back to basics, I got to do this, I got to do that. And I had a couple of experiences, you know, with a couple of personal effects of, you know, an uncle that has passed and things like that. My brother, okay, because I've been, of course, doing this stuff and reading this stuff and doing tarot in my mother's house. My brother flipped out the other day because he's always been very, very sensitive when he had somebody, I don't know, hovering over him in bed. And apparently she was trying to tell him something, and he was like, no, no, and he just got up and he ran out of his room in a fright, you know. But I've been having stuff like that, so I've been ultra, ultra sensitive. And last night, I had this really, really weird, weird dream. And it was funny because I was mad at Lisa in the dream. Okay, because I don't know, something happened where she was flirting with somebody or I don't know. Something happened, though. And I was just like, okay, you know, whatever was whatever, and I left where Lisa was. And now wherever I was in my car, and I have a laundry bag in the back, in my back seat, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see the laundry bag move. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, what the hell? So as I'm driving, I reach back, and I touch the laundry bag, and all of a sudden, my little kitten, my newest little kitten, Smidge, like sticks her little head out of the laundry bag, and I went, oh my God, Smidge, I'm like, you're not supposed to be out of the house. So I immediately pull over, and when I open up the driver's side door so that I can go into the, because it's only a two-door car in my dream, so I open up the driver's side door so that I can go into the back seat to get, you know, my little baby, she like darts out of the laundry bag and she runs out into the street. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, Smidge, please come to mommy. Please come to mommy, Smidge. And every time I get close, she gets a little bit further away. And then I get close and she runs away again. So in this dream, I'm completely freaking out. But in the end, I literally grabbed something from out of the laundry bag and I was able to throw it at her. And, you know, I was able to grab her, you know, underneath whatever I grabbed out of the laundry bag. So it was fine. Now, this morning, you know, I dropped Lisa off at work, and then I ran a few errands, and then I figured, you know what, because I do help my mother, you know, care for my grandmother who's elderly. So I figured, you know what, I'll go over to my mother's house a little bit early. Well, I'm on my mother's street, and all of a sudden I see this little thing, and I thought it was a bag in the street. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm like, is that a cat? And I keep nearing it. I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? It's a little bit of sunlight, basking in the sun. Cats love to do that. I'm like, honey, you got to get out of the street. You're going to get hit. And I keep going on. And then all of a sudden, this thing gets up and falls down. I went, oh, my God, please tell me somebody did not hit this cat and leave it in the street to die. So I literally pulled the car over. And by the time I pulled the car over and opened up my door, this little guy came right over to the driver's side door, sat down, and fell over again. So I was like, oh, my God. But every time I went to go pick him up, he kind of scurried away a little bit, but he was all disoriented. At first, I thought he was blind because he kept running into things. Oh, he was very, very disoriented. Finally, I'm like, oh, my God. So I frantically called my mother, who now lives only up the street, and I said, Ma, somebody on this block hit a cat at the end of your block, and I'm like, you need to get me a box, and we need to do something about this. And she's like, oh, my God, Nicole, what are you doing to me? I'm like, you have to come. I'm like, I can't do this by myself. Oh. So my mother stops working and goes running up the street for me so that we can try to see what we're going to do about this cat. Now, by this point, I'm knocking on doors. I am, you know, doing whatever I possibly can to try to find out who belongs to this little guy. But he seems to just be getting worse. One of his eyes wouldn't open up completely. So I was like, oh, my God. He looked like he could have been my little baby, the one that was in my dream last night. He could have been from the same litter. That's how close the markings on this cat was, and that's how closely he looked like my cat. And I was like, oh, my God. And not even thinking twice, I went into my back seat where I saw the laundry bag, where I pulled out a black towel, which was the same towel that was in my dream, and I threw the towel over him, and he stopped and he laid there for a second, and I literally scooped him up, and he sat in my arms, and he wouldn't move out of my arms after that. He didn't swat. He didn't bite. He just sat in my arms. He was so disoriented. So we took him to a hospital, and then we wound up taking him to another hospital all the way out east. So I drove about a good hour and a half out of my way to try to get this cat to a hospital. And then I called the woman that I got my cats from that rescues the cats. And I said, listen, I said, you have to help me. I said, I don't want this little guy getting killed. Somebody hit him with a car, I think, maybe just even grazed, you know. And I don't know what's going on. I said, but I don't want him to be euthanized. So she said, okay. And she went over there. She checked him out. And she got him a head CT and a full body scan and a full you know, x-ray. She got him all of his shots. He got neutered today. And she took him home tonight. Aww. So... luckily,
there was a dream come true.
There was literally the dream come true. Like if I showed you a picture of my little girl and I showed you a picture of this cat, you would literally think that was my little girl, you know, in like maybe 6 months from now.
Wow.
Like that's And that's the second cat. Like, I have two of the same kind of cats like that. The first one was a feral cat that Lisa had found all bloody, having gotten attacked by something. She wound up having nerve damage, and me and Lisa wound up keeping her. You know, we couldn't, you know, we call her Trey because, you know, Trey in Italian is three. So since she only uses three of her legs, and the fourth leg is just kind of there, but she doesn't really use it. You know, we called her Trey. I'm like, I can't have five cats in my house. I can't do it. And then luckily, you know, this other lady was willing to take him, and she got him everything that he needed. And, yeah, that was just like the icing on the cake because, like I said, I've been becoming more sensitive, and I've been trying to really, like, try to figure out what I'm going to manifest next. Not figure out how to manifest it.
We're manifesting a very new good job for you besides this non-paying one, okay?
Oh, yes. No, well, you know what? Like, it's like I can manifest any job that I want, really. Like, I just have to figure out what it is I want to be when I grow up. You know what I'm saying?
And, well, that's the truth. Now,
you
know, I know
so
we
weird.
Have a lot of callers, so I think we should try to get to them. And I know the first caller is Kathy from Pennsylvania. And then we'll later go down
Kathy.
To Janine, who's a 516. 945. No, Jean, I think her name is 516-945, who sent me an email.
Well,
that's
519-945. Is that what you meant?
No, all the way down. I'm going to show you with that one. There's a 516-945.
Oh, I got it.
So let's first.
Okay, so that's Janine.
Kathy
and we're going to do
Pennsylvania.
Poor Kathy's been waiting for 2 weeks
the first call.
To get on the air. So we're going to do Kathy first.
Okay, over to Kathy in Pennsylvania.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Kathy. So thank you for your wonderful email, so supportive of our radio show. We appreciate that. And I know you've been a loyal listener for quite some time, so we're curious what's on your mind today.
I think Kathy's been with us since the beginning, Cindy.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, I love these guys. I really do. I enjoy your talk show, and I just love you.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're right on everything. I met this guy that you told me that I was going to meet.
Good.
And I'm just wondering, I had a little problem this weekend with him, but I just want to know how it is for what do you see in our relationship.
How long have you known him now?
I think for going on 8 months now.
Okay, good. So he's a little bit past the prince to become the beast immediately, so that's good. Okay, you've made it to the 8-month mark, so that's always a good sign. Again, love is like a ladder. It does go up and down the ladder from good to bad, and we just don't want to flatline it at mediocre. He looks very much like he cares about you and that you are someone he really admires. He's a little moody at times. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes, very.
Okay, 'cause there's the card that's a very moody kind of temperamental person. You don't want to be mommy to a boy here. You know, remember in your past relationships, the men tended to be the big masters and they owned you. Now, Kathy's not going to have any more masters, but this one you might be mommy to a boy with if you're not careful. So it's getting him to step up to the plate. You know, money looks like it'll be better for him. Has he been worrying about money?
I think so.
Because the money looks like that's something he's got a couple of ventures or things that he needs to see through, but that looks better. Again, it is a new relationship. It goes up and down a ladder. Did you resolve it? Did you say what you mean what you say without being mean about it and get your point across that you needed to get across to him?
Yes, but he sometimes... I don't think he hears me.
Oh, well, you know, men have blind spots and some deaf spots, too, but so do all human beings. Again, the not hearing us is something that you really have to take a moment, look somebody in the eye and say, I want you to listen very carefully. And try to make sure he hears what you're saying, because what happens after a while, if, you know, sometimes narcissistic people are very good at yeah, sure, and telling us what we want to hear at the moment, and then they go about their business doing whatever they did before we spoke up. So you might want to get him to understand that these things could be a deal breaker, that you're not just talking to talk, you're not nagging, you're not a bitch, but you really need him to understand that this is something that matters to you and is important. And you're in the beginning stages of the relationship. If he's not listening now, then he's really not going to listen later. So
right.
it's, again, in the beginning of the relationship, people do listen to everything we say, and then they throw it back in our face and tell us everything we want to hear. Just be a little careful to make sure you're not going to settle if he's not going to be a person who will step up to the plate with you. I mean, he cares about you. There's nothing like that in the cards here. But, I mean, are they big issues or tiny issues that he's not listening on?
I think they're like tiny little things. It's like he gets, like, really upset. Like, I'll just give you a quick example.
Yeah, good example is always good.
I was trying to set his best friend up with a friend of mine, and I was excited, so I texted him and said about her that, you know, she's very bubbly, very caring, and I think it would be great for Hector, and he just texts back very nasty, saying, we had this conversation before, don't ever text me again, you're like every other woman out there, trying to push her away, and getting her way, so we're done.
Well, that's not a little thing. That sounds pretty bad to me. That he suggested something and then he sort of pulls his love away. It could be that he doesn't want. I mean, sometimes what I would interpret this to be is, what does he have to hide that he doesn't want my friend to be friends with his friend? He's projecting. I don't know if Nicole agrees with that, but my gut feeling on that was, he doesn't want your friend to know his friend. So
that's what I figured.
Okay, so that usually means that maybe he's got something to hide. Maybe he's, you know, doesn't want you to know sometimes when he says he's working, he's not, or whatever. So the point being that was sort of nasty manipulation. You were saying she's bubbly and something nice, and he turned on you. Also, that kind of, like, all women, I just really can't stand when people put a category, all women do this or all men, because all men and all women don't do the same stuff. But, you know, the moodiness of him and a little bit of immaturity, personally for me, I would see that as a red flag. And I would confront him and say, you seem to really get unglued when I wanted my friend to date your friend. Why is it that you don't want her to know your friend? What's the story here? Almost bringing the truth, you know, forward. And he might say, well, this doesn't work out. I don't want to hear it from him or whatever. But you want to hear his explanation as to why that particular thing made him lose it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think I should stick around, or do you think I should just move on?
Well, again, we can't just close the door every time something comes up, but really asking him what he means, did he make up to you and say, I'm sorry about that now?
No, he didn't say sorry. He just texted me and said, I hope you don't hate me. I hope we can be friends, if that's fine. No, I'd like for us to be friends, but that's all.
Okay,
and
so what are you not hearing? What are you not hearing? He said that's all he wants. At this point, if I were you, I would just kind of take the 2 feet out. Maybe he needs to miss you. Maybe he needs to realize that he can't just run away from you. First of all, I'm going to give a piece of advice. Relationships should not be ever gone on through texting. Texting is very very makes it mechanized, dehumanized. It allows people to say mean things because they can't say them to your face when they care about you or hear your voice. So texting is for I'm running late. See you later. It's not for conversation. Mm-hmm. So as soon as a relationship resorts to conversation through texting, it's already on its way out. So it's not a good way of, it's not what it was meant for. Texting was not meant for dialogue. It wasn't meant for that. It was meant for a brief. So the fact that he said that to you in a text, I wonder if he would have been able to say that to your face so mean. And the fact that he broke up with you via text is a real sign of cowardice. So
that's what I thought too.
And I'm not saying he didn't care about you, but the point is, you know, if I were you, I would take my 2 feet out now. I wouldn't even respond to it. First of all, he's not your friend. friends don't say nasty things. And, you know, you can't be his friend if you still want to be his lover. So kind of, you know, call him and say, I don't need any more friends. You know, I thought we were more than that. And, you know, if you want to be with me again, you had better call and make a better explanation. But the point is, you're going to allow him to call the shots where he'll be coming back and forth with this nonsense.
Right.
You want to make sure if he comes back, he comes back on your terms, which is stick you 2 feet in here and make this work. But
right.
You're not the first person I've heard in recent times with this texting nonsense. And it's textual abuse in its own way. So really, I'm not seeing such promising things here unless, try take 2 feet out. That's all you can do at this point. He says he only wants to be friends. What are you not hearing? That's what I say to people. You tell me that's all you want. I'm not trying to sell you something you don't want. And,
right.
You know, at this point, just be a little patient.
Well, he said he wants to think about it, you know,
okay,
and I
know,
give him
you know,
space.
He wants to think about it. Okay. Think about
mm-hmm.
it. Why? Is he seeing somebody else? Is he what? You know, we all have to realize.
That's
that
what
people,
I wanted to know.
And that's what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing that maybe he's checking out somebody else, and that's why he didn't want you to be friends with Hector, because your friend, because then you might be able to find out this stuff. So, you know, the people tend to do this trick now. They break up with people, act like there's a problem when there isn't, just to go be with somebody else. And then when that doesn't work, they come back and act like nothing happened.
Right.
So calling him on his behavior is important for you. That,
okay.
You know, say it nicely. Say what you mean. Don't be mean about it. Don't engage in anger. But just, you know, calling people on behaviors at least lets these people know not everybody's as stupid as you think we are, and that, you know, I see through this. And, you know, he's just running, and who wants a runner at this point? So
right.
Wait and see what happens when you take 2 feet out. Maybe he would miss you. Maybe he'd realize he behaved badly. You know, sometimes people learn if we really take our 2 feet out. If we're willing to allow them to call all the shots, you're going
right.
to be back to a master-slave archetype again, only this is going to be worse. You're going to be doing what he, when he says come forward, you will. When he says go, you'll run. So
right.
be a little careful with this. I don't
okay.
know if Nicole has anything to add, but I'm seeing the only answer here is 2 feet out right now and see if he gets the message.
I agree with
okay.
you, Cindy.
You know, this is common. This is, like, really a common thing, Kathy. It's not that they don't care about you or he doesn't care about you, but they just get scared.
Right.
And I have to say, we enable people. They can do whatever they want. They can run. They can do whatever they want. But it doesn't mean I have to cooperate with their nonsense. It means that I have a right to say, nope, this is not what I would want for my daughter. This is not what I want for me. So
right.
That you're coming into the place of self-love. So what would you tell your daughter in this instance?
Right.
Would you tell her to leave this be right now?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah.
And again,
because I was even thinking about that myself, you know, like maybe I shouldn't be so available for him, you know.
And again,
not,
in some ways that's game playing, so I'm not saying let's pretend that we're not there. It's really like, okay, you're saying you want time out, you got a time out. And, you know,
right.
take your 2 feet out, and no booty calls, no texting. And if he texts you, what's your intention? Is it to stick 2 feet and have a relationship? If not, don't text me. It's not giving them
right.
time to think about, do I want you, do I not want you?
When right,
you
I got
somebody,
you.
When you find somebody you love, you don't want them to run away. You want
no.
them there. And if you want them to run, it's because you're scared. And that kind of dance can go on forever unless somebody puts their foot down.
Right.
Well, call in again and let us know what happens when you take the 2 feet out.
Okay. So what do you see for 2013 for me?
Well, I definitely see this as a nice year for you. There's good things here. Money-wise looks okay. Love-wise looks better. So whether it's with this man or somebody else, hard to tell. But again,
okay.
it's a little bit of standing on our own 2 feet without a man.
Right.
That makes us strong enough to say, I really, you know, I want that man who wants to so commit to me.
Right.
And be with you. So this is a good year. This is a good year for you. There's some learning, perhaps, that you didn't learn from your last relationship. You need to learn from this one. In the beginning, when people start dragging love down the ladder, or when they stop wanting to be committed when they were totally committed, we can either bring it back up the ladder, or it's just going to just deteriorate. So the only hope is to be strong enough to say, this is not what I signed on for.
Okay.
Well, let us know what happens, and, of course, you'll call us again. We always love to hear from you.
Thank you so very much.
You're
for
welcome. Good
time
luck.
For me.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Kathy.
Okay, so we have down
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we're going over to Janine. You said you wanted to talk to Janine again?
Yes.
All right, so Janine is already queued up for you. And then, I've already taken it upon myself to start queuing up everybody else. So after Janine, we're going to hear from someone else. But let's go cruise over to her and see what she has to say, shall we?
Sure. Hi, Janine.
Hello,
how
Janine.
Are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call once again. Can you hear me?
I know that you've been, yes, and I know I'll refresh our audience. Janine's a regular caller. She's a regular client. Also that, you've moved and now you're looking to move again, and that you had an instance where you felt like someone had taken a piece of gold jewelry from your apartment.
It would have happened a long time ago. Yeah.
Right. And now ask whatever question you have. But this is a very good year coming up for you. A little bit of conflict about where you're going to live, but once you make up your mind, the universe is opening all doors for you. So,
okay. It's just that right in this location, it's really hard. My income's not up there yet, so my options are so limited, which is why I chose this dump to begin with. And
well, you live
on
Long Island, first of all. For our listeners around the country, Long Island is a very expensive place to live.
Oh, my God. And I've never had anything stolen out of my own home before. I've had things stolen from my purse, my wallet, at work, but nobody's ever. And to make, just insult to injury, this neighbor is so unpleasant and is filling my apartment with smoke and pot and all kinds of smells, and it's just so weird. This was just adding insult to injury, and I just think I feel worse about the violation I feel than the actual jewelry, which I am emotionally attached to, so I am upset about that as well.
Well, the violation is what I felt like when somebody comes and hacks your email, and now you send an email to my trusted clients who think I'm pushing something. I mean, there's violation. It really feels like you've invaded my space. It's an awful feeling.
And she's so repulsive, and she touched my things.
And
apparently, if this happened, I mean, if she is indeed guilty.
Right, and when you sent me the email, I unfortunately didn't have time to answer you fast enough. And if you remember, I said, yes, she took it, but she's crazy, so don't even go there. And as it's going on now, the best thing is to just try to find your way out of that place that you're living now. But I would advise you to try to keep the peace. It doesn't pay when you're living in such, apartments, close quarters, to really start a war for something that you can't win. You'll never win against this woman, believe me. You'll yell at her, she'll call the police and have you arrested. So
she has a record.
Right, but it doesn't matter. She'll still call up and have you arrested, and you'll have one too. So try not to fight with her. I do see a little bit of a move. You're traveling not too far in the beginning, and then there's a much bigger move in the near future too. I know you maybe don't want to make two moves, but
This place is toxic, and she is acting really crazy. I think she's trying to provoke me to react or something.
No, she wants you to move out. She wants you to move out, so she's going to get what she wants. And then when you leave, you can say, I pray in the laws of karma you get the neighbor you deserve. That's all you say when you walk away.
All I said to her was, you stole from me, that's going to bring you bad luck. I couldn't help it.
I know. And again, she could probably, care less at this point. But I do see a move a little bit further out east. Are you trying that a little bit?
Yeah, I did email you that, but I can't make that move. I wasn't comfortable. A friend of mine is actually, I hope he comes through. I don't know. He's actually has a possibility for me a little bit more west again, sort of where I came from.
Good. So that's
I don't know.
It actually looked like that move is going to be coming. So try to hang in there.
Okay.
You know, don't wait till your big move. I know you've been planning on moving further south and all of that.
Yeah.
That move
yeah.
looks promising here too. But the first thing is to just get it a little bit nicer place to live. Are you month to month in this place?
Yeah, and the landlord's kind of a dirtbag. Also, he's not. It's someone I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable living in his property either.
Right.
So.
Did she sell
my necklace? She probably
hawked
it.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's probably long hawk because anything gold seems to have legs of its own right now because of how much gold is going for. And,
how did she do it so fast?
You know what? People are really pretty good at scanning, going through places. It's not you don't live in a big place, so it's pretty easy to go through boxes fast and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you live in a mansion, so...
it's the first time I didn't change my locks right away. I just was so overwhelmed and so stressed, and nothing ever happened before, and I just didn't change my locks right away.
Well, that's something that you learned from it now. You know, you change your locks. That's a top priority, and you're not the first person to be put in this situation, but the most important good news is that it looks like a little move somewhere pretty decent. And then the bigger move in the next year or so.
Thank you.
So good luck to you, and don't forget to call in whenever you want. You know, I always appreciate your emails.
I'm looking forward to my private reading next time.
Oh, I know. And then and we'll go more into detail about that big move coming.
Awesome. Okay. And is she a danger to me, or is she just
yes or to death. Yeah, sure. Just don't even antagonize anymore. Try not to say much.
Yeah,
and
that's the first thing I've said to her. She, used to try to antagonize me. She's really weird, I'm telling you.
Well, no, they know what they're doing. They antagonize you. You've had enough of it. One day you scream at her, and then she has you arrested.
Yeah.
So these people are crazy like a fox. The one thing with these people, you have to not show emotion. You have to be a little bit just calmer, go about your work and about your...
Cause
she's not truly crazy like a schizophrenic. They're crazy like a fox, which means she could clean up and look good in court, and you're going to be slaughtered in there. So try to realize that they do try to provoke us. I have plenty of clients that, have been in these situations, and they're the ones who've been arrested.
Yeah.
And they didn't start it.
I only told her I was aware of it, and that was it. That was the first time I spoke with her since she leaned into me during the hurricane, something crazy, and she was told by the landlord to leave me alone, actually, at that time.
Well, just know that in the future, until you move out of there, don't say too much. Don't even...
I'm not saying anything. I just walked by her. I saw her looking out her door at me when I was walking home from the store, and she's... I think she's crazy, though. I think she's kind of... insane, actually. I'll tell you more.
Well, that's why I said just you don't want to provoke her. Go about your business, and it looks very promising with her new move pretty quickly. So
you think it would happen in February?
It looks like you could definitely get something in February, so keep looking.
Okay. All right, so the person...
Well, good luck to you.
Yeah. Okay,
thank you
for
calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Hey, now, Nicole, you've been moving right along here. I can't stand when I hear these terrible stories where people just are trying to go about their life.
And you get
the crazy neighbors. We've all had a few of those.
I had neighbors for years that were just, ugh.
And so territorial and, it's always trouble. But, again, with people, you got, just be aware that, there are plenty of people that will steal your jewelry and stuff, lock it up, and, don't leave it where anybody could get it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, people, unfortunately, you it's not kind of like an innocent until proven guilty type of way of thinking. You know, unfortunately, nowadays, everybody's guilty until they're proven innocent, which means that you've got to trust people a lot less than you used to, you know, right. Because anybody is capable of anything, you know. I mean, I'm in an experience right now with a friend of mine who, you know, I loaned him, you know, something that he needed, you know, that was going to help him. And he said that he was going to be responsible if anything had happened to it. And all of a sudden, here we are 2 months later on. He, you know, wound up, you know, taking, you know, what belonged to me, loaned it out to somebody else. They trashed it. And I was like, well, listen, I said, that person's got to pay me for it. And here we are 2 months later, and I haven't received a dime, you know? So
boy.
It's like, and this is somebody that you know, I trusted. And especially with my transition, I could definitely use the money. And, like, here I am, you know, like, you're supposed to be my friend looking out for me. And, you know, here it is my hour of need. I was patient for 2 months. And, you know, he's nowhere to be found now. He doesn't return any of my calls anymore. So it's like, and that's what I get for, you know, supposedly trusting somebody who was supposed to be, you know, a friend. You know,
well,
and I hate to be cynical that way because not everybody is like that, but you have to be guarded.
And just, you know, just again, fool me once, you know, you're a generous person and you see it, but, you know, sometimes now it's okay to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't borrow this. I'm sorry, you can't borrow my car. I'm sorry. You know, if
you
crack it up, I can't afford another one. So, you know, so it's one of those things we are allowed to say no sometimes.
Yep.
And still be a nice person.
Yeah, I see this now. But,
you know what I'm saying? Now, I
Live
thought you
learn.
Did...
Expensive lesson.
We have a Mike from Michigan, you said?
Do have Mike from Michigan, Cindy, and he just wants to... This sounds like a loaded question to me, so I can't wait. I'm not even going to go back and screen until I hear the first half of Mike's reading, because he wants you to check in on his finances for the first half of this year.
Well, what about the second half?
I don't know. That's why I said it's a loaded question. You got to ask Mike that question. So let's see what he
okay.
has to say. We're going to go out to Mike in Michigan. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, Mike in Michigan has got the card. I got the Knight of Pentacles. So that's Mike is a very good businessman. So I'm not surprised he's asking about the business. And it's the first 6 months actually looks pretty good here. And
okay.
some of the things, I got the Justice card next to the Knight of Pentacles, which means some of the business deals that are pending or what you want to happen are about to happen. So,
okay.
You know, you could relax on that. Looks like there's a lot of hard work in this next 6 months. So are you planning on a lot of hard work?
Yeah, I need to re-step up my game and get focused. I kind of got lackadaisical during the holidays.
Okay, because that's, again, you know, I always tell people that when they ask me questions, like, am I going to pass my law boards? Not if you don't study. I mean, you
right.
can't say, yeah, and then they don't study. So it's like, yes, barring that Mike steps up to the plate and starts doing some of the legwork that this calls for, then it looks really, really good. But it's a little bit, you do have to do a little bit of the work here. And,
Well, absolutely. And I was, and with the reason I was asking for the first half, because if the first half is successful, then I can, you know, plan a move to the Southwest, and then it's golden.
Right. And that's why I said it won't be unless you do your work and that you also trust your gut. You know, sometimes, you know, that's sort of what I wanted to say when Nicole was saying, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't know who to trust or not to trust, or our gut will usually tell us. There's usually that moment when maybe Nicole was going to loan out her thing to her friend. Her voice might have said, no, my gut's telling me not to do it. You have
right.
to trust your gut a little bit. If you think people aren't going to come through doing what they're doing, don't waste 2 months waiting to see what they do.
Right.
Kind of assume my gut's right on target. They're not going to do what they say. Anytime I've ever done something that I was relying on somebody else, and that's why I've always learned to be a one-man band, they always said they were going to do it, and my gut told them, no, they're not. And unfortunately, it took 6 months or a year to realize I did a whole lot of work, and they never did the 1% they were supposed to, which left me nowhere. So you need to trust your gut in the business and make sure that, you know, you keep it moving forward.
Right. No,
and then there's some love in the cards coming, too. Is that part of what you would like, too?
Oh, I'm definitely open to it. It's been focused on the work aspect for a couple of years, to where I've kind of dug myself into a den and just done that.
Okay, well, we need
to,
like, realize that there's love here, too. So this is a year. Go about your business. Money looks good. It may be linked to when you move But this is a really, really good year. It really looks like if you really focus yourself, you're going to feel like you've really accomplished what you wanted to. There aren't really any negative cards here except don't lose the vision and, you know, don't slack off anymore and move forward.
Right. No, absolutely. And it's funny. I've been working on my my own abilities for the past year and a half. And I went on my walk with the dog today and was kind of, you know, doing my thing. And I'm getting right now, I told you so, you know, type of thing. Like, yeah, this is what I told you when we were on our walk, you know, type of thing. So
right,
I
because you hear the little voice saying, you knew that this was going to be this way. Why did you doubt it? I've never been wrong. But since I'm a person of my word, I'll do this 1,000 hours work. I said I would. Now, the only, you know, one instance, the only person had to make a phone call or two to make the project go. And she couldn't manage to do that. So my 1,000 hours of work were useless. And from the day she asked me, I said, she's probably not even going to make that phone call because she's, you know, and this was a creative project. I'm a writer. So I said, 1,000 hours on a sitcom. She has nothing to lose from this. She's got 1,000 hours invested. And if she just decides she doesn't feel like doing, and she was a, you know, pretty famous actress, if I don't feel like doing this thing right now because it doesn't fit in with my schedule, then I won't. But I said, well, I got to kind of take a chance on this. So what I try to tell people is if it's not in writing, don't bank on it. Do you know what I mean? It's at this point, nobody has anything to lose. It's your time, not theirs.
Right, so, exactly.
So trusting my gut's been, like, supremely important to me because I don't have time to waste anymore. I'm tired of work that goes nowhere. Do you know what I mean? I don't mind working hard, but it has to be at the end, people have to step up and do what they're going to say. So again, if you trust your gut, everybody out there has to trust their gut a little bit. And that's really when, if I don't care if somebody tells you it's the most wonderful person in the world and your gut tells you, no, he's not. Because our guts don't lie. They always, it's like, and it's not even our gut. It's really coming from dead people who have a better observation of the situation, who are sort of popping thoughts into our being that says, you don't want to deal with this person. It's not coming from us to begin with.
Right.
So it's that voice that you have to trust that's telling you, you don't want to do this. Back off. So it works very, very good with strangers, not so much with people we trust because the radar goes really down when we trust people. But if we're walking down an alleyway and we see a person, our radar will right away tell us, get away, this person's not good. You know, we'll know it within a second. So that's our protective defense mechanism in every way. And, you know, we've been a little brainwashed not to trust our gut. And believe me, just because I'm a psychic, it doesn't mean I'm not human. I will never doubt what's told for me to somebody else, but I'll doubt it what's told for me. So it's all of us, you know, second guess our own, you know, inner guidance. But you have very, very good cards. I'm not worried about you, Mike. Your Mike from Michigan is going to really come out on top this year.
Fantastic. I appreciate it.
And you got to call in and let us know, please.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll be warm next winter.
Well, good luck to you. And we're going to try to get another listener here because we've got a million.
Hey, so thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
bye.
Mike.
Okay.
Hello,
we're going to go over to Manorville. Oh, I love that.
We are. We're going. We're going to speak to Krista. Now, Krista, Cindy, saw you, or rather spoke to you just before the new year. And I believe she has another reading with you in March.
Okay.
However, she can't wait until
she's
March.
She's getting frantic. Okay,
and
you know what? My poor clients have to wait forever for readings.
Well,
and
you know what it is? You know what it is? She's dating this guy. She's been out on a couple of dates with him. But, you know, she's not really sure if she feels that connection with him. But she's not sure if this lack of connection is in her head or if she's just wasting her time. So she needs you to give her a little bit of a guidance on this one so she doesn't have to wait until March.
Okay, good.
All right. Hello, Krista. You're on the air.
Thanks, Nicole. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Krista. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Now, of course, trusting our gut is what we're here. What is your gut telling you?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't have, like you said, with the recognition factor, I don't have that with him, but I don't know if I'm jumping the gun. And the thing is, he's a nice guy, but I just don't have, like, the sparks aren't there. And, I mean, this weekend I have a date with him, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm wasting my time and I don't want to waste his time. You know, I just don't know, but I don't want to jump the gun either.
Okay, and again, part of it is, you know, sometimes the universe will bring us a nice man to fit a plan. You know, like it takes a little while to bring a soulmate into alignment. So sometimes if we're getting a little impatient, the universe brings us a, like a man to fit a plan, nice guy. You know, you wish you could love him almost.
Right.
And, you know, he is a very nice guy here. There's no red flags like you better run for the hills. This is an ex-murderer. He's a loving guy. He's a good guy. He's hardworking. He seems to be who he says he is. But the point is that, you know, it's hard to casually date or date. You're a very old soul. I know that from readings from you before. Mm-hmm. You remember we talked about that.
Right.
Older souls usually can't casually date. It doesn't really suit them so well. They usually can only be with soulmates. They need that really deep connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as it goes here, you know, over time, would he be someone you could grow to care about? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel a connection in your heart to him at all?
Not really, and I didn't have that recognition, like, you know.
Factor, where you felt
yeah.
that. How about with your soul? Is he bringing out the best in you right now? Makes you like want to listen to music and watch love movies and feel all...
No.
Okay, how about with your minds? Do you communicate well?
Yes, we do communicate, which is good. That's a plus.
Well, at least
you know,
he's teaching you that you can communicate well.
Right.
How about your bodies? Do you feel that chemistry?
No.
Okay, now that's a lot of, like, you've got one, which is the communication. And, you know, funny because in your past relationships, that's probably what was lacking. You had the heart-soul sort of body connection, but maybe there wasn't that communication.
Right.
So that's probably why this one is here to teach you how to communicate. Maybe it's easier to communicate when you don't have all that other stuff in the way.
Okay.
So it might be, I'm not saying you have to immediately stop seeing him. It might be
mm-hmm.
there's still some lessons to learn from being with him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them might be how to communicate. Do you enjoy seeing him or is it a chore?
Well, in the past couple of days it was enjoyable, but now it's like I'm dreading it.
Okay,
and I feel bad, but I want to give him another chance because he's such a nice guy, and there's not many of them out there.
Right, and again, what you can basically, because you tell him if it doesn't, you know, that if you don't want to see him, that you know he's really a great guy, and you wish he was the one, but you're just not feeling that way. You don't have to lie, you don't have to
right.
hate him to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you're a very old soul. You're a good catch, and. You know, he could start feeling more for you, and then that's going to be awkward. That's why older souls find it hard to lead people on.
Right.
And they even walk down the aisle with the wrong person just because they don't want to break somebody's heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it looks like, why don't you just give it to Valentine's Day? That's not that
right.
far from now. Like, when Valentine's Day comes around, if there's a card that says, gee, I don't even want to see you anymore, but I got to buy you a card, that's not a good sign.
Right.
So I always like to use Valentine's Day as barometer of relationships.
Right.
Because, you know, if you've been fighting like cats and dogs for a year, what card do you buy then? You know, I really can't stand your guts. I have to buy you a card. So, again, between now and then, give it, because, you know, it's not like you have to have the answer tomorrow. So.
Right.
I mean, if you find that you just, you know, if he goes to kiss you and you get the skeevies, you know, you just don't want him to kiss you, that's not good. Has he kissed you yet? Have you felt any?
Yes, he has. And then, I don't know. And then I bring up my ex. I'm like, well, maybe it's my, you know, I'm still not over my ex. I don't know if you remember, I was supposed to get married, you know, this
sure.
past summer. So I'm thinking, you know, and I met this guy right after midnight on New Year's. So I'm like, oh, this got to be it. This is great. And I was so excited. And then, like, after a couple of dates, I'm like, it's not, you know, I'm not, I don't know. I don't have sparks.
Well, if we were having arranged marriages still, he would be a good catch.
Right, right.
He's hardworking. He's disciplined. He's kind. He's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But is he a soulmate? It doesn't. I didn't get any soulmate cards in here, no matter how many times I shuffled this deck. I mean,
okay.
Not even a squidging of one.
Right.
I didn't get any bad cards on him. He's not a bad man. Again, you know, my grandfather was an arranged marriage. She was 16, he was 26. He was a great man, she was a great woman. They didn't belong together.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. No, it's the universe is bringing you. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 37.
Okay. At 37, sometimes, you know, the biological clocks tick and women start getting nervous, so they start freaking. So sometimes God will bring, okay, if you really just want to get married, he's a nice guy.
Right.
But is it a soulmate?
No.
And you can't, you know, there is a thing called the recognition factor. Sometimes, you know, psychologists might argue back and forth that I'm wrong on this, but usually you know it from the first, there's a spark of some sort. You do grow.
Right.
You should keep growing closer, though. Love grows greater and greater.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way that most people do. They're close, and then they start dragging it down to something bad. But it should, from the beginning, feel like this is something, you know, a person that really kind of, you can't stop thinking of them after the first meeting of the person, and that you can't wait to see them. If you don't feel that way now, could you imagine 20 years from now?
Right.
And yeah. It doesn't mean ending it immediately, because it looks like there's a few lessons you need to learn.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is because you've had a soulmate that maybe didn't work out. The one blessing in a soulmate relationship that doesn't work out is you can't walk down the aisle with a man to fit a plan. It'll never work. It has to be a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing everybody should ask anybody before they walk down the aisle is, do you love this person with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body? And are they committed to that love, and are they committed to you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's important. And so you can't sort of fake it or force it. I just don't want you to get where you start fighting with him or you make it toxic. You don't have to do that.
I don't know. No.
You know, it's just, people think they have to hate somebody to leave them. They make it ugly, and
right.
You know.
Well,
so,
I feel bad actually, because it's like I don't want to be mean, but I don't want to keep dragging it on. You know.
That, now you know, old souls always feel bad. They always play with guilt. They don't do anything wrong. That's why I said you can walk down the aisle with the wrong man because you feel bad for him. How about feeling bad for you?
I know.
You know,
I should start.
That's, you know, pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself. You don't do anybody any favor by staying with someone you know that it's not for you.
Right.
You're depriving him of being able to go and find the woman who's going to think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I'm sure he is. He's just not your sliced bread, you know?
Right.
And it's one of those things that sometimes we wish we could have loved a person.
Right.
We know that they're good in so many ways.
Right.
And, you know, again, we don't want any more toxic love affairs. People, you know, mistake drama for passion.
Right.
You just want a lot of passion without the drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's out there.
I mean, you recently, you know, ended something. It takes a little time to bring a soulmate into alignment. You have to be a little bit patient.
Which I have
There's
to
a reason
learn.
For it. Could you imagine we have 30 of them on the planet? What if God brought all 30 at once?
Well, I know I went through two of them already, so I have a couple left.
Yeah, you got plenty left.
Yeah, I have one other quick question. Do you see me? I also, my neighbor is like not the best to live next to when I live in the condo.
Isn't it funny how the calls just sort of relate today?
It's
all
funny because I was
relate
listening. And then I go, all right, I'm not the only one with this problem. But I'm like, do you see me staying here for a while, or, you know?
Because there's so much in flux in the next year or two for you,
mm-hmm.
in terms of meeting someone, and that could also change where you live,
right.
I've sort of seen you staying put, but again, not forever, but
right.
a move might be just, you know, when you move, that's on a stress level very high.
Right.
And if you want to be finding love and everything else, it's going to be a move, that's going to take up the next 6 months to a year to get that all underway.
Right, yeah,
So, you know, you might just, you know, deal with your neighbor. Moving doesn't mean you're going to get a better neighbor always. So,
right.
We all have to learn sort of how to deal with these people. You
mm-hmm.
know, when I was still living in the co-op, I had a really crazy neighbor. And we didn't have assigned spots or anything, but if anybody's parked in her spot, which you mean whether it was 80,000 spots, like you get to walk
that
an
woman
inch.
Was psycho.
And she would bang on people's cars, and she would freak out, and she would curse at my clients.
God.
And it was, and meanwhile, she was a teacher.
Wow.
And, you know, she called up on the the board against me and all this stuff. I mean,
wow.
I'm a quiet, good neighbor. And it was really awful and embarrassing, and it was just terrible. And, you know, it's one of those things I couldn't wait to get out of there fast enough after that because it really was unpleasant. And the day my mom died, my real estate agent came to pull in the spot for just a second, and I was on the phone, and I had to take care of some things, and I didn't realize the real estate agent was in the spot. And she started freaking out and screaming. And that's the day she called up on me. I'm like, you know, my mom died. I'm not paying attention to who's parking in your spot. You know, I mean, it was just such the ludicrous. And sometimes, you know, people have to, before they start being insane, you know, ask you, is there a reason? But, you know, when people think they have a spot when there's no spot with your name on it, you already know you're dealing with insanity.
Right.
Especially when there's 800 other spots. It's not like there's not another spot.
Wow.
So for you, just try to hold in there a little bit. Stay put. Don't pay too much attention to your neighbor if you couldn't. You know, sometimes if they're loud and stuff like that, that's something different, since you can't just deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a noise factor?
Well, they're just very unfriendly, and yeah, you know, and it's just her boyfriend creeps me out, and there is sometimes there is noise coming from there, but you know, I deal
and your
with
gut
it
tells
a,
you that he's a creep, and your gut tells you that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But
just the way he looks, I'm like, you know.
Those are not the kind of people you want to be friends with if your gut is saying that he's a creep.
Yeah.
Right. But again,
you will get
out of there. Try not to sweat it out too much about the neighbors. You'll be out of there before long. But just concentrate on sort of moving your life forward in the love department and stuff like that.
Right.
That's the number one priority for 2013. Although if you keep getting that prompting to move, it could be like maybe you'll meet the guy where you move. So follow your own gut on it. But if it's just to move because you can't stand them right now, you know, double think about that.
Yeah, well, it's dealable for now. So I'm hoping once that love comes through, maybe, you know, everything else will fall into place.
Right, and that's the truth. So you're not going to make any major changes right now until you figure out where you're actually going to be in the future, and those answers can come. So, you know, we sort of have to trust in the process of life and where it's moving us. But, you know, again, we have to realize this is the real world. There are people that are just going to make life hell.
Right.
We have to find a way of, like, dealing with them.
Right.
Usually it's yes and them to death. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm, whatever. You know, it doesn't pay to fight these people. They don't go an eye for an eye. They want your left arm, your right arm, and your firstborn.
Right.
So we got to pick and choose our battles a little bit.
Right.
But moving is one of those things that when you will do it, you'll be going, yes, but you want to be moving with the man of your dreams, yes.
Right. Yeah. That's
Look
my
at
plan.
Me. Look at me. See ya. Leave them all behind.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much.
You're welcome. And, Nicole, we're about toward the end of our show, and I don't think we could take another caller because I do have clients coming, and I do want to grab a bite
well,
to eat.
Well, that's
really
okay because I've already instructed Jennifer to call back after next week because we are not on next week because of Valentine's Day. Am I correct, Cindy?
No, that's not next week's not Valentine's Day, is it?
It's not? I think
no.
It is.
No, next week is the 7th.
Damn.
And the next week
Jennifer,
is the 14th.
You're still on the line. I still see your number. We are on next week. I thought next week was Valentine's Day. Wow, I have another week reprieve.
You just want to get candy. You just want chocolate.
No, you know what it is?
Go buy some
Lisa
chocolate.
And I are having an early Valentine's Day. We have plans to go out to Cove Haven in Pennsylvania. So we're doing that this weekend. And for some reason I have it in my head that we were doing it the week before Thanksgiving, not 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Now I'm really on the wrong holiday. Valentine's Day. So I had it in my head that it was 2 weeks prior, that it was 1 week prior, not two. But okay. Well, listen, Jennifer in Canada was on the line, and she is oblivious to flirting, and she needs your little romance whispering to benefit to her. So she's going to be emailing you tonight, Cindy. I told her that.
And then I'll write her number. Well, no, what I'll do right now is I see her number. I'll write it down on my list for
Please
next week.
Do.
The first people to go come up, so she doesn't have to email me. I see the 519 number. I will
wonderful,
write it down and we'll put her on
phone. Yes, this way Jennifer will be the first caller next week, provided that she calls back. And Jennifer, I really hope you do. She was so cute, Cindy, too, so I hope that she does call back.
And we love Canada.
Oh,
I love Canada.
Canadians.
They loved me on my radio shows I did in Canada. I sold more books in Canada than you can imagine. I love my Canadians.
Nice. Awesome,
okay.
Awesome.
So I've marked it down, the 519-945, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so
Thank
Jennifer,
you
we'll
very
pick you up
much.
Next week.
All right. And, guys, thank you very much for all of your calls. Cindy, as usual, you did a wonderful job. And go have fun with your clients now.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.